Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Edification. And in order for the spirit to flow from this Bible through men, it has to go through the children of Israel. Because that's what the books say. And if you pay attention, family, everyone talking in the book that is prophesying, that is bringing judgment righteously, and this isn't excluding the Gentiles, because there was some Gentiles that would partake in an Israelite movement, but they was partaking under the children of Israel. So what am I saying? To the law, to the testimonies, to the promises, to the covenants, to the kingdoms of the earth, they belong to the children of Israel, because that's what's promised. Why do you think Christ was born with the title Jew? Why do you think he was born out of the tribe of Judah, the nationality of Israel? Interesting enough, too, his disciples were the children of Israel. Before they were disciples, before they had the title disciples or apostles or whatever else you would like to title them, they were the children of Israel. After being the children of Israel, they was always the children of Israel, they acquired the title apostles, leaders. You have Paul. Okay? Paul. You look at Paul, what is Paul doing? He acknowledged himself as being from the tribe of Benjamin. He would put Gentiles in rank to help lead and guide, which is fine. But guess what? They all worked under Paul. You also have Peter, children of Israel. These are all the 12 tribes of Israel. It was given to them first that they may bring light to the rest of the world. That's the promise. That's the covenant. When you read the new covenant, guess who the new covenant is to? So when we're talking about how to break down this Bible and give it to you, how you should read it word for word to make a man upright, to make a man perfect, this is what it is. And it's in love. This is not any kind of hate. This is love. Because whatever nationality you are, if you go to another nationality and you try to break down their book, they would tell you the same thing. They would tell you the same thing. And if I'm wrong, you could, go to the Middle East and tell them how to break down. Tell them how the Quran should be broken down. Go to Egypt. Tell them how the wall should be read. And see, you wonder why nobody can break down the Egyptian writings on the wall. And you wonder why. Your wondering is because the people that actually wrote it isn't there. So why am I putting it this way? Because when Christ came, his fulfillment of the law and the prophets is exactly what he did. Not what you believe, but what he did. That's how you fulfill something. If there's a prophecy of me walking from the west side of the room to the east side of the room, in order for me to fulfill the prophecy, I actually have to walk to the east side of the room from the west side. That's called fulfillment. So, going into saying, people say, well, you know, Jesus Christ, right, what the world calls him, Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the law. Well, if that was true, what we read tonight, brothers and sisters, would not be associated to what happened after Christ came. Would not be associated to what happened in the Old Testament. You cannot associate what happens in the Old Testament with anything that goes on today. So therefore, guess what? You don't read the Old Testament. So, if he fulfilled all the law and all the prophets as how you interpret it, for what they say is, well, he fulfilled all of the law. What laws did he really fulfill? What we say? I'm going to put this out there so I can just make sure it's all clear. The law that he fulfilled was the law of sacrifice and the law of death.
All right.
What about the law of death? Well, he resurrected. So he died and he resurrected. That's called fulfillment. Sacrifice? Well, when you need a sacrifice for sin, guess what? He is there. Was on the cross for us, all of our sin. There was a sacrifice. But what about all the prophecies? He fulfilled the walking prophecies. There's still prophecies that need to be fulfilled. You need to fulfill the law also. Why do we say you need to fulfill the law? Because if you don't, well, look at society today. That's your example. Imagine everyone keeping God's law. They act like it'll be total chaos. No, it's chaos when you don't keep the law. So why am I saying this? Well, if he fulfilled all of the law, brothers and sisters, this Roman Empire would not have ransacked Jerusalem. This Roman Empire would not have slaughtered the children of Israel like they did. Have you taken the time to read what the Romans did? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28.
All right.
Let's read verse 15.
All right. So we're coming out of the book of Deuteronomy,
mm-hmm.
chapter 28, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
It reads, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee."
If Christ fulfilled the law, then these curses would not have come on the children of Israel. I'm saying fulfill the law as the way that you say, not the way that we say. Again, what he fulfilled was sacrifice and death. That's all. That's all he fulfilled. Sacrifice and death. Let's go to verse 30.
All right, so this is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 30. "Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt build a house,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt not dwell therein.
Yeah.
Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof."
So what do we think the Romans was doing? This is what they was doing. And all in the midst of, we was doing it to each other. Taking each other wives. So what was going on during this siege of Jerusalem? What was going on? It took time to get to this curse, to where we could all just start sleeping with each other's wives. We build in houses, but we don't dwell in it. It took time. Plant vineyards, but not gather the grapes thereof. Read.
Verse 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thou sheep shall be given unto thy enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them.
This is a curse from God. Go ahead, read this, not the last verse, but this until we go to the next one. Go ahead.
Verse 32, thy sons and daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand.
There shall be no, when the Romans came, we had zero might. It took time for them to start planning the centurions and Roman soldiers into Jerusalem. It took time. So to say the law was fulfilled, brothers and sisters, you have to analyze what was fulfilled. Because what we read in right here happened after Christ died. It happened to those who believed in Christ. Because these curses are upon the nation for wrath. These curses are upon a group of people, not upon the world. The Africans can break the laws of God, but not suffer these curses. Read that next verse.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 33. The fruit of thy land and all thy laborers shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up.
So this nation, this Roman, we're going to say the Roman nation, not to say that there wasn't other nations that did the same thing. We're going to say the Roman nation because tonight is the topic of the Roman nation. The Roman Empire came in and ate the fruit of the land, exacted all our laborers and taxed us, and they ate up everything. Go ahead.
The rest of verse 33. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away.
The Roman Empire only oppressed the children of Israel. Crushed them away. Crushed them away. I mean, the children of Israel had, we had a land. We had a full land, landmass, and then we were down in number to just Jerusalem during this time, the Roman Empire. So I'm going to keep just banging your head right on the door to let you know what Christ actually fulfilled. Because we're going to read how terrible things was during this Roman siege.
All right.
And it's just fulfilling prophecy. So you make sure you tune in next week, too, because we're going into how the children of Israel were destitute of food. So guess what they started eating? Each other. Before they was eating each other, guess what they were eating? Their own children. Let's go to verse 41.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity.
They shall go into captivity. Your own sons and daughters shall go into captivity. The Romans took the children and put them in captivity and were selling them to each other and doing dirty things with them because they were perverted. They were dirty. And not to say we weren't the same way, because we were.
Come on.
But if we was in righteousness, we wouldn't be. Read verse 44.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 44. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail.
See, this is a curse. And if you notice, a lot of my people, where I'm from, it says, he shall lend to thee. This is a curse that's on my people. Just so happens. And thou shalt not lend to him. There's no one for me to lend to. I have to accept lending, or what they call loans. He shall be the head. My people seem to be the tail.
Right.
What you think was happening during this Roman siege? See, we're looking at this book like the Old Testament is all done. Unfortunately, we're looking at this book like it's all done. It's not all done. It's so much in this Old Testament that you have decided not to read because you believe it's all been fulfilled. It gave you education on where the children of Israel are, because the teaching is there's a spiritual Israelite. The teaching is we no longer have to keep the law, statutes, and commandments. See, this is something that the Gentiles would teach. This is not something Paul taught. This is not something Peter taught. This is definitely not something Christ taught. There is no man or any woman that would teach you to break God's law. Read the next verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
He said, all these curses shall come upon thee. Now, if this was fulfilled, no curse would come on the children of Israel. Because remember, Christ died for all of our sins. In fact, if the law was done away with, if he fulfilled everything, you got to be listening to this whole program for you to really understand this breakdown between what's happening between the Roman Empire and the children of Israel during this time, because now that we in the Roman Empire, we could talk about Christ and what happened after his death and resurrection,
mm-hmm.
and we could talk about what's going on during it. You have to think Christ came at the pivotal point where Israel was about to get kicked out of the land. So God is cursing them. That's a curse. So to say, well, it's been fulfilled, what? What are we missing to where we saying it's been everything's been fulfilled? What are we missing? Because we reading all these things right here, none of it's been the only thing being fulfilled right now is the curses. But we should be blessed as a nation. But we not. It says, these curses shall come upon thee, pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. You notice the children of Israel haven't had their land in almost 2,000 years. Because they hearkened not to the voice of the Lord thy God. They did not keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded them. Read the next verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
These curses shall be a sign upon thee for a seed forever.
Mm-hmm.
these signs. You want to wonder why the children of Israel went through what they went through in Rome. Then you're going to be looking for them 2,000 years later. Like, where they at? Well, if you ever wonder why these group of people do this, or you're looking for a sign for where the children of Israel are, look at these curses. For a wonder upon thy seed forever. Let's read. Now, there's other good things in here.
Right.
As far as identifying what was going on during Rome. Read verse 53.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 53. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thy own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee.
And wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. It says you're going to eat the fruit of thine own body. The fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters. Guess what happened in Rome after Christ died? They were eating their own flesh of their sons and their daughters. Sounds crazy, don't it? Sounds interesting, don't it? Because if Christ fulfilled everything, then we wouldn't be going through none of this. So that would mean that after Christ came, there's still prophecies in the book that had to come to fulfillment. That's the reason why they got kicked out of the land in the first place. Believe us, family. We know exactly what Christ came for, what Christ did. We know exactly. Because we read it. But we touching on the Roman Empire. This is what the Roman... Anytime another nation conquers another nation, don't believe that they go through what we reading right here. Believe that they don't. They may become a slave, but guess what? They ain't going to be eating their own children. Not to say it don't happen, but to say that they'll have enough honor amongst each other not to eat their own children. Anytime, some people might say, well, you know, this happens to anyone that gets under another nation. No, it don't. These are key prophecies that only happen to the children of Israel. This is what was happening in the Roman Ramsay. Read verse 59.
This is Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 59.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continence, and sore sicknesses, and a long continence.
So, you know what comes to mind when I read that?
Right.
They be having the late night shows, they have the children showing the children, oh, you want to help her or help him?
Oh, yeah.
Because they got these swollen bellies and they not eating, and just one cent a day will take care of them.
Right, right.
Well, if you looked at the Bible and compared their lifestyle to the Bible, you'll see simply, most likely, they are the children of Israel. Not to say all the children of Israel look exactly like them, no. But they are impoverished. The children of Israel are upon all four corners of the earth, as the sand of the sea. Wherever sand is, that's where they are. And the curse is that they would go under the other nations.
read verse 62 and 63 and then 64.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon them until thou be destroyed, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God.
And you know what's interesting about how he said also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law. You notice they coming out with all kind of sicknesses and plagues today.
Right.
And you can't even pronounce the sickness.
It's a new one every month.
They got a sickness called restless leg syndrome. That's not written in the Bible.
Right.
But that's a curse from God, yes, if you got it. And all we got to do is do what's right. Let's keep reading.
Verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you.
The Lord will you ever heard the God that rejoices over his own children to destroy them? Show me where that was fulfilled at. Because the children of Israel should be just fine if it was fulfilled by Christ. See, fulfillment for some people is the Old Testament period. And then fulfillment for other people is, well, they want to pick and choose what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
The Lord will rejoice over you. Just like he rejoiced over you to do good, to multiply you, well, he's going to rejoice over you to destroy you. Go ahead.
The rest of verse 63. Will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it.
Whether you goest to possess it. They went into Jerusalem, and they got plucked off the land. Where did they go? Who are they today? The ramsack of Jerusalem took the children of Israel to the four corners of the earth. Where are they? Just look at the curses. You'll find them.
All right.
Go ahead. I know we got callers, but we're trying to get a point across. We haven't been able to get this point across for a while now. So,
all right.
Bless y'all for supporting. Go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other.
Even unto the other end.
And there thou shalt serve other gods.
So the same children that had the God above all gods shall serve other gods. Go ahead.
Which neither thou nor thy father have known, even wood and stone.
Another sign or wonder is you would look at this group of people and they would have gods that are not theirs. They would have gods that's not theirs. But you know what's so interesting about that? Every nation in the world got a god, except for a few group of people that the Lord chose.
Right.
And take a guess who they are. Take a guess what nationality they happen to be. This group of people that don't have their own god, their own culture, and their own history. The history that they do have just happened to go back only 400 years. Let's take a look at this, because Rome dispersed the children of Israel. Rome dispersed the children of Israel during Christ's time. But you know what? We're going to get some more, but I'm going to show what God really did during this time. This is Josephus, The Wars of the Jews, chapter 5, paragraph 2. And we're down to a little bit. So I'm going to say it again. Josephus, chapter 5. Excuse me. Josephus, book 6, chapter 5, paragraph 2. We got about 45 more minutes.
Right here.
Like I said, I know y'all calling in, but we got to get this point across tonight, family. We might take calls later on. Go ahead.
All right, so this is the book of Josephus, book 6, chapter 5, the middle of verse of chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
A false prophet was the occasion of these people.
So a false prophet was the occasion of these people. The occasion. What was the occasion of the people? Go ahead.
Of the people's destruction.
The people's destruction.
Who had made a public proclamation in the city that very day.
They made a public proclamation in Jerusalem to the children of God about what?
That God commanded them to get up upon the temple.
Everyone get on the temple.
And that there they should receive miraculous signs of their deliverance.
They would receive signs for deliverance from the Romans. Now, see, if you was reading the Bible, if you was reading Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Exodus, you would see that there would be no deliverance because the people were not doing right. If the people was doing right, then there would be deliverance. But the people not doing right. What's the example of not doing right? Adultery, covetousness, false accusers. This is all the group of people that was gathered at the temple. It was the false prophet that gathered them. And then, because they are such in multitude, so great in multitude, guess what? Those that are righteous, they like, well, how? Maybe God is talking to them. But see, I'm talking about righteous. You know how you got the people that's righteous without the law? People that say, you know, I really don't have to follow the law. I got love automatically. This is, a lot of our people. They do have love, and they have some righteousness within them. But see, if that false prophet came along and began to teach things like this, the possibility of being taken is more than likely because the foundation isn't stabilized using the Bible. Because that's what Paul talks about, our brother Paul. Paul says, you know, you have those that keep the law without the law. They keeping it, you know, just off their pure conscience. But these sometimes are the same who get caught up because the foundation isn't there. The precepting, the diligence. Okay? Go ahead.
This is the book of Josephus, book 6, chapter 5. Verse chapter 2, in the middle of chapter 2. Now there was then a great number of false prophets suborned by the tyrants to impose upon the people, who denounced this to them, that they should wait for deliverance from God. And this was in order to keep them from deserting, and that they might be buoyed upon above fear and care by such hopes.
So they was juicing them up so that they could lose fear of the Roman nation, ransacking Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
They was juicing them up so that they could trust in this false prophet. Okay, go ahead.
Now, a man that is in adversity does easily comply with such promises.
See, a man that's in adversity, that's going through problems and issues in his life, he's easy to comply. Why is he? How is he easy to comply? Well, I'm going through all these problems, so God had to send you. And that's what will happen in these last days, to where those that are consciously loving thy neighbor as thyself, being unstable, when things become unstable, they will also fall victim to the teachings of the false prophet.
Right.
Go ahead.
For when a seducer makes him believe that he shall be delivered from those miseries.
They make you believe you will be delivered from your miseries. Another false doctrine, the rapture. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be a rapture. It would have happened right here in 70 AD to God's people. But how much more if it don't happen to God's people? How will it happen to Gentiles? I just don't get it. Go ahead.
Believe that he shall be delivered from those miseries which oppress him. Then it is that the patient is full of hope of such deliverance.
Yeah.
Thus were the miserable people persuaded by these deceivers, and such as belied God himself. While they did not attend nor give credit to the signs that were so evident and so plainly foretell their fortune desolation, but like men afflicted without either eyes to see or minds to consider, did not regard the
denunciations
that God made to them.
So what was happening was you had these false teachers, and God had put out the signs. We already know Christ came. That was one sign. See, and that's what Christ was talking about too. You know, the children of Israel always looking for signs. Always. When all you had to do was read the Bible and you would see the signs. Read Deuteronomy and you would see the signs. So what was going on to where they're going through all this commotions and the people don't see the false prophets promised signs, and here it is, God is giving some. But he's not giving any to stay, because that's what they was hoping for. They hoping for signs to stay. How deceptive is that? How deceptive is a rapture? Just stay where you'll be okay. Just stay where you at. And these curses, the plagues, the anguish, the harm, the famine, the sword, the death, it won't come to you. You will be raptured. Why, brothers and sisters, why have we trusted in false doctrine and false prophecies? Go ahead. What did God show?
That God made to them. Thus there was a star resembling a sword.
A star resembling a sword.
Which stood over the city.
It stood over the city of Jerusalem.
And a comet.
A comet too.
That continued a whole year.
It was a comet that continued a whole year over Jerusalem. This was the sign that God was given. Go ahead.
Thus, also before the Jews' rebellion, And before those, commotions, which preceded the war, when the people were come in great crowds to the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
This happened during when?
The Unleavened Bread.
Feast of Unleavened Bread. Go ahead.
On the eighth day of the month,
Xanthicus,
and at the ninth hour of the night, so great a light shone round the altar.
A light came over the altar of the house of God. Go ahead.
And the holy house, that it appeared to be bright daytime.
It turned the whole area daytime. And some of you all can get on to YouTube right now and check out, there's a video of the stars coming, literally coming down. There's a star that came down over the temple, or a temple, I don't know which one. Came down over a temple, went back up, and sparkled and all this other, I mean, a phenomenon. A phenomenon. Go ahead.
And at the ninth hour of the night, so great a light shone round the altar and the holy house that it appeared to be bright daytime.
Yeah.
Which light lasted for hour and a half.
This light lit up the whole place for an hour and a half. Go ahead.
Thus light seemed to be a good sign to the unskillful.
But see, the unskillful said, well, this is a good sign. Go ahead.
But was so interpreted by the sacred scribes as to portend those events that followed immediately upon it.
So the sacred scribes knew what it was. The unskillful, they look at anything and say, oh, yeah, that's from God. They'll see a blood moon, a so-called blood moon, and say, yeah, that's from God, too. They'll see a comet and say, that's from God. They'll see this and say, that's from God. That's from God. Everything's from God. But yet, unable to actually analyze what the scriptures are saying about their own lifestyle, what the Bible is saying about their own lifestyle. Go ahead.
At the same festival, also a heifer, as she was led by the high priest to be sacrificed, brought forth a lamb in the midst of the temple. Moreover, the eastern gate of the inner court of the temple, which was of brass and vastly heavy, and has been with difficulty shut by 20 men.
So there was a door with very difficulty. It had to be shut by 20 men. They need to be strong men to shut this door. Go ahead.
And rested upon the bases armed with iron, and had bolts fastened very deep into the four firm floor.
Go ahead.
Which was there made of one entire stone, was seen to be open of its own accord.
This door that it took 20 men to open, opened on its own accord. Go ahead.
About the sixth hour of the night, now those that kept watch in the temple came hereupon,
running
to the captain of the temple and told him of it, who then came up thither, and not without great difficulty was able to shut the gate again.
So now you had one man. It was just easy to open and shut the gate. Go ahead.
This also appeared to the vulgar to be a very happy prodigy.
So to the vulgar, it was a very happy prodigy. It was a very happy sign to the vulgar. But someone that's very simple, that understood what God was saying was, he's opening the door for the enemies to come in, because this door would protect us from the enemies. This is what Josephus is about to say. Go ahead.
as if God did thereby open them the gate of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But the men of learning understood it,
mm-hmm.
that the security of their holy house was dissolved.
The security of the holy house dissolved. See, God was giving signs the whole time. You didn't need to stand on the temple to see it. Go ahead.
Of his own accord, and that the gate was open for the advantage of their enemies.
The advantage of the enemies, brothers and sisters. The door has been opened, and we have not seen the signs that we see today will bring revelation as long as you read in the Bible and breaking it down. But to the vulgar,
mm-hmm.
to those who are unconscious of what God is truly saying, they're going to be looking for signs and saying, this is of God, this is of God. We're going to all be happy. When the 90% of the Bible is about pure destruction. So we got one more minute. Last 30 minutes, we'll take calls. The 30 seconds. So we hope everyone get home safe. You make sure you call in or call into the conference 563-999-3194. Everyone be blessed. Y'all listen in.
Hello, this is Samantha Landy. I'd like to invite you to listen to Psalms of Hope on Tuesday mornings at 9:30 here on KKVV. And if you'd like more information about my ministry, you can go to my website at SamanthaLandy.com. But don't forget, KKVV Tuesday mornings at 9:30 for Psalms of Hope.
Who's there?
Falling off.
Falling off who?
Falling off Ping Tax.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock-knock. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidacare Pain Relief Patches, our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology. Won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore, because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
God cares. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Prayer enables us to carry all our worries to God in prayer. And if we doubt when we pray, we upset our hearts unceasingly and unnecessarily. How much needless care would we save ourselves if we just believed in prayer as the means of relieving these cares and would learn the happy art of casting all our cares in prayer upon God who cares for us? Disbelief that God is concerned about even the smallest affairs that affect our happiness and comfort limits the Holy One of Israel and makes our lives altogether devoid of real happiness. Dear God, I cast all my anxieties on you today, for you care about the smallest affairs of my life. Thank you for loving me, God. Brett Hodges, KKVV, Las Vegas.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
KKVV, Las Vegas. Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-313-6952. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. John Laura.
As a dermatologist, I feel confident recommending Viviscal. It's backed by 25 years of research and multiple clinical studies that demonstrate Viviscal's effectiveness in promoting the growth of thicker, fuller hair.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-313-6952. 800-313-6952. That's 800-313-6952.
He's watching you. Hi, this is Annie Meadows, and I hope that you will join me for my program, The Journey, every Tuesday at 1:32 p.m. It's honest talk, dealing with some sensitive subjects from time to time, but it's a lot of fun, and I hope that you will listen in 1:32 p.m. every Tuesday for The Journey on KKVV Las Vegas.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. I'm Ronald Dart. Tune in for Born to Win every morning, Sunday through Friday at 7, right here on AM 1060 KKVV. And we'll talk or visit us online at borntowin.net.
The views and opinions on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KKVV Las Vegas.
This is the Hour of Spirit and Truth. This is Deacon Balas with the Gathering of Christ Church. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Let's do what God sent us for on KKVV Las Vegas.
All right, so praise the Most High, Hayabash Shemeshiah. We back on for another 26 minutes, maybe a little less. We're going to finish out these signs that God left for the children of Israel. Then we're going into Lamentations, and we'll take calls in between going into Lamentations. So let's go ahead and read that. If you want to call in, 702-650-5588. And like I said, we'll take calls as soon as we finish this sign. Go ahead.
All right, so this is the Book of Josephus, Book 6, Chapter 5. It reads, "Besides these, a few days after that feast, on the 21st day of the month, a certain prodigy, an incredible phenomenon appeared. I suppose the account of it would seem to be a fable, where it were not related by those that saw it, and were not the events that followed it of so considerable a nature as to deserve such signals."
So it was an incredible phenomenon. It appeared. This incredible phenomenon. What would God do for his people? He said, and Josephus is like, these people don't even deserve these kind of signs. But they got them anyway. And did they listen? No.
"For before sunsetting,"
before the sunset,
Chariots
and troops
of soldiers,
mm-hmm,
in their armor were seen running about among the clouds.
Chariots and troops were seen running in the clouds. This was a sign that God gave. Go ahead.
"And surrounding of cities."
Surrounded the cities.
"Moreover, at the feast which we call Pentecost,"
uh-huh,
"as the priests were going by night,"
uh-huh,
"into the inner court,"
the priests going into the inner court
"of the temple,"
mm-hmm,
"as their custom was to perform their sacred ministrations,"
mm-hmm,
"they said that in the first place they felt
a quake,
and heard a great noise,"
mm,
300,
mm,
"and after that they heard a sound as a great multitude saying, let us remove hence."
This was a sign. The Most High God shook the earth for them.
sounded like a million-man march and gave him a voice that said, let us remove hints. But what?
But what is still more terrible, there was one Jesus, the son of
Ananias,
a Philistine and a husbandman who 4 years before the war began and at the time when the city was in very great peace and prosperity, came to that feast wherein it is our custom for everyone to make tabernacles to God.
The Feast of Tabernacles.
In the temple.
Mm-hmm.
301 began on a sudden cry aloud, a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem and the holy house.
So you having all these signs. We'll stop right there. That's cool. Because what it's going to say is this brother was going through Jerusalem, and he can only say the same six words for years. And unfortunately, that's how he died. And they would beat him so that he would stop. But the only thing he could keep saying was that, you know, the same thing. We're all going to die. There's a voice against against Jerusalem. And the only time that it stopped was right before his death. He would just always go out, woe unto Jerusalem, woe, woe to Jerusalem, woe, woe to Jerusalem. That's all he could say. That's all he could say. So the Most High God doing all these signs and all these wonders, and did the people listen? Well, you got the ransack of Israel. Okay, callers, so we're going to go to you. After the callers, we'll go to Lamentations chapter 2. Please, callers, be quick, because we got this Lamentations chapter 2 we got to go through. Sister Lucrea.
Hey,
Rose,
this is Zakoria. Commandments and keeping a commandment, but most Israelites don't even do what the scripture says. And Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, you guys can read, says about making the tassels and putting the blue, because there are those within Orthodox Judaism. They'll wear the tassel, but they will not put the blue in it because they don't want to be reminded of the Almighty's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that the believers, no matter where they're scattered, if they were to wear this, not the little kippah or the yarmulkes on the head. That's not how you say you're going to recognize his people. He says by wearing that strand on your garment to remind you to keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So if a brother or a sister is out and they want to do something that goes against his commandment and they see another brother or sister, they'll be quick to remember, no, I can't do that. I can't commit that adultery. I can't steal that person's this. I can't, you know, covet this because, that's against the commandments. But they have not this sign is the one that most of those that say they're Israel, they're missing because they're not obeying this to remind them of the commandments.
Agree.
Yes, and that's in Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41.
Agree.
Yes. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, bless. Appreciate it. All right. Have a blessing.
Shalom.
Okay, let's go to Brother Thomas. Shalom.
Hello, my brother. How you doing, Deacon Blas?
I'm doing well.
I would just like to share this with you. During the time of the Messiah, Yeshua, the reason why God's judgment came on the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes is because they rejected him. The fulfillment of which he came is to fulfill all things that were spoken through the Davidic, and all the prophecies spoke of that day, that he would be a lamb led to the slaughter, but he wouldn't open up his mouth. And when he died on that tree and shed his blood, and he said it was finished, which means that in him, in his blood, is the atonement for sin, that you don't have to go back to the animals and et cetera, et cetera. And because of their rejection, not all of them rejected him, because some did. That's why he had the disciples and called Paul out of season and send them to the whole world. Thomas Didymus, he went up to India and started. You had John, which we call Yohanan, he went up to Turkey and started. That's where you have those churches of the Asia Minor over there. The disciples that received him and all the Israelites that received him, they were blessed. That they weren't cursed. And then because the ones that was in charge of everything, and then he said he's the head of that cornerstone, that was removed because they was wrapped up in the temple. And instead of receiving the Messiah, rejecting him, and that temple came down. And then Rome, that was God. See, because when you reject God, and then God is sending enemies, you know what I mean, to chastise you. And then, so Rome came down and did all the things that they did, but then God judged Rome because Rome is dust now, you know what I mean? And then so in the Messiah, we are blessed, we are protected by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and we are empowered, dwelling in us to do the Ten Commandments, you know, if you walk in them, and we are empowered to do those things. And once you're in the Messiah, that's what he's talking about. He fulfilled all things that was prophesied about him. You know what I mean? Not that the Ten Commandments went away, but he fulfilled everything that was prophesied about him. And now there's no more Jew or Gentile. We are the ones that believe is still in the olive tree divine, and then the ones, the Gentiles that believe that came into the Hebraic faith, then they were grafted into the vine of the wild olive tree. Now we are one in the Messiah, Jew and Gentile, because the whole purpose of God of sending, bringing his son here is to redeem us from the place where Adam and all them had failed. And now we are made whole in him by his spirit, because God said, not by my power, not by strength, but by my spirit. And now we are in him. And when you are walking in him and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no such thing as a curse being on God's people. Curses come when you be disobedient to him.
Okay.
And,
Thomas.
All right, then. Take
care. All right, bless. Okay. So we're going to have to go back to Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1.
All right, so this is the book of Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughters of Zion?
How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion? With what?
With a cloud in his anger.
So when we talk about the curses of God and his anger towards the children of Israel, well, we just read some of the things that God was doing for them. Even though they weren't doing right, we just read some of the things that God was doing for them to cause them to try to do right, but still his anger would cover all of them. Read.
And cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remember not his footstool in the day of his anger.
And the children of Israel was nothing but his footstool. Nothing but his footstool. Go ahead.
Verse 2. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughters of Judah.
He hath thrown down. See, when will we meet this God? The one that people don't believe exists. Guess what? He is showing himself through his children. He is showing himself through his children. The one that will not pity. Because he is opening the eyes of many. Okay? He is calling many, but only few are chosen. Go ahead.
He hath brought them down to the ground.
Yeah.
He hath polluted the kingdom of the princes thereof.
Mm-hmm.
He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before thy the enemy. And he buried against Jacob, and he burned against Jacob, like a flaming fire which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary.
He stood with his right hand as an adversary. Go ahead.
And slew all that were pleasant to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
In the tabernacle of the daughters of Zion.
Mm.
He poured out his fury like fire.
This is the God that we're talking about. The thing that happened in, this is Jeremiah looking at what happened during the time of Babylon. But what we're saying is God does the same. There's nothing new under the sun. We're looking at what's going to happen, what happened in Babylon, what happened during the ransack of Jerusalem, and we're looking at this time, today. The Most High God is bending his bow like he is looking at his enemy, looking at his children, because they have become the enemy. They have helped the enemy. They have sided with the enemy. Go ahead.
Verse 5. The Lord was as an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He has swallowed up Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He has swallowed up all her places.
And see, with respect to what people believe, the Lord said he swallowed up Israel. All her places. So it don't matter if you was righteous or unrighteous, you got kicked out of that land. You suffered the curses because the curses are on Israel. If you're in Christ, the curses are on you. They're on everyone, all of the children of Israel, not on every nation, but on the children of Israel. Go ahead.
He has destroyed his strongholds and has increased in the daughters of Judah.
Yeah.
Mourning and lamentation.
Yeah.
Verse 6. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle as if it were of a garden.
That's right.
He hath destroyed his place of the assembly. The Lord has caused the Solomon feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion.
See, if you see, it says the Lord had caused the solemn feast and Sabbath to be forgotten. He caused that. So, the Gentiles might walk around today and say, well, this is all done away with, but it's only for the Lord's cause, because the children that he begotten will remember them. That's why it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Because he caused his children, the firstborn, Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, the firstborn to forget. But he will call the righteous to follow after his law. Go ahead.
The rest of verse 6. And have despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest.
Uh-huh.
The Lord has cast off his altar. He has abhorred his sanctuary.
He ransacked Jerusalem. Go ahead.
He has given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her places. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord,
mm-hmm,
as in the day of a Solomon feast.
Go ahead.
Verse 8. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughters of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrew his hand from destroying, therefore. He made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. her king and her princes are among the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
The law is no more.
The law is no more. And you got out here, right? It says her gates are sunken into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes, are among the Gentiles. And you got brothers out here calling themselves kings. How are you a king without your own land? How are you a king without your own government? How are you any of that? How are you something to be exalted when you can't even control your own environment? Kings and princes. We will be translated to being kings and priests, but we are not that now. There will be a translation. There will be a change. But we are still amongst the Gentiles. And guess what? The law is no more. The Gentiles have conquered us. They have taught us their doctrine. But now, no longer. No longer. The deliverance is in Christ. The deliverance is in our work and what we do. The deliverance is Him, through Him, in Him. So, read that next part.
The law is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord.
Her prophets find no vision from... That's why you got so many false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Most High God will not provide the prophets. The spirit of prophecy. Go to verse 11.
Verse 11. My eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth. For the destruction of the daughters of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the cities.
That's right. So let's go to Acts. Where was that at? Acts. To bring the conclusion of the whole matter to the New Testament. Okay, so last verse, and then we got an announcement to make. Two announcements. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Read them fast.
Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers.
Your rulers and ye brethren, all of our brothers here that listen in, that is in listening distance and are listening to the recording, we did it. We did things that we were not supposed to do. We denied the Holy One. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled.
He has so fulfilled because Christ fulfilled the things that the prophets were speaking of. Go ahead.
Verse 19. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out.
So what does it take to really be a part of Christ? To repent. To repent and be baptized. Go ahead.
When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of thy Lord.
Okay, praise the Most High. So we got 2 minutes, and we got to make two announcements. And the first announcement is we will be having a debate in May. We're not giving the date as of yet, but if you would like to attend, give us a call. The number comes on at the end of our show. Go ahead, hit your thing.
And the second thing is to help support the ministry, we have a church business, and it's dealing with hauling, moving, pickup, delivery, and junk removal. And the brothers is going out, and we're doing this work. The number to call for that is 1-855-934-285 or 1-855-5-WE-HAUL. Thank you. Again, the number is 1-855-5-WE-HAUL.
All right. So, brothers and sisters, please support the church as we are trying to do our best to financially be, you know, stable. And we do that by working.
Right.
So, you know, praise the Most High if you're able to donate for that. Again, you're listening to the Gathering of Christ Church. We on our way to discovering the mystery of Babylon. So if you can, tune in next week at 5 o'clock. And we will be on. So you all be blessed and have a good night. Shalom.
Thanks, family, for listening in. This is the Gathering of Christ Church, the Hour of Spirit and Truth. You can contact us at 331-442-4622 or go to gatheringofchrist.org. Tune in next week at 5 p.m. We're on every Monday. Again, the Hour of Spirit and Truth. Remember, Ahaya is God's name. Glorify it. Shalom.
Watchman on the Wall from Southwest Radio Church can be heard here on KKBV, Monday through Friday, 10:32 a.m.
Greetings to each and every one in our listening audience. My, I just enjoy my ministry here because I get to meet a really large number of great men and women of God.
Monday through Friday, 10:32 a.m., Watchman on the Wall.